person who's actually on it.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 845, and I'm first going to open the Committee on Revenue, and then we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 845. So I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 845. It is the unused gift card bill, and Steve, where are we at?
Mr. Chair and committee members, we have a new Dash 2 amendment. At the last work session, you had a Dash 1 amendment that did several things. The Dash 2 amendment, maybe I should back up and say that the original bill made the unused value of gift cards abandoned property after 3 years from the date of purchase or last transaction, and that the original bill also prohibited issuing cards with expiration dates or having fees attached to them, and that applied to gift cards issued after January 1, 2006. The Dash 1 amendments, as you recall, changed the definition a little bit to clarify that the cards had to have some means of store of value, and that it exempted cards that were used for charitable fundraising, and specified the conditions under which the state lands could claim the unused value. The Dash 2 amendment that I just saw this morning only deals with the definition and as the only change to the bill. So the Dash 1 amendments are dropped from the Dash 2 other than the definition of gift card. And that's where we stand.
And before we do that, Barbara's son, Matthew Hicks, is with us today, and it is a really, you don't have to stand up. I'll have you do that on the floor. But I'm going to pass around this article, which I had read previously from the Dallas Chronicle, which I didn't know Barbara actually worked for in the Dallas. But Matthew was in Iraq working with the coalition headed by Paul Bremer, and there's a wonderful article on the work that he did in Iraq and in Baghdad for the country, and it's just a real honor, frankly, Matt, to have you here with us. And talks about when you got back and met, did you meet George Bush, the senior Bush?
I sat in the inaugural balls in D.C.
Huh, he danced with Janet.
And
Chuck
Gray and George Sr. and Barbara were walking, working the crowd.
So you got to go to one of the inaugural balls on your return, and it's just really great to have you back and have your mother with us, and just the service that you provide this country as we kind of toil away here in Salem. It's very meaningful to us to have you with us and all the work that you did to kind of promote this democracy that we work on little bills like gift cards. Thank you. And I'll pass this around. Okay, so back to the gift card issue. We have the Dash 2s before us. And is Paul or Steve, is there a Dash 1?
You have a Dash 1 from the last hearing, yes. That should be in your records.
Okay, so let's have Kate Richardson, and if one of the proponents want to come up and talk about the Dash 2s, Lori, and then Julie, we'll have you come up and
we'll comment on it.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Kate Richardson, Oregon State Treasury. And I'm here in the capacity of a supporter of this bill for the treasurer. I did testify at the original hearing in support of this bill as the treasurer is a member of the land board, of course, has the unclaimed property under his purview, and you may be aware, too, that there is a proposal being considered to move that program even closer to his shop. I'm here to talk a little bit about the Dash 2s, which are as Steve mentioned, the remainder portion of the Dash 1 amendments. In the last hearing, there was some question raised about whether the portions of the Dash 1 would be considered or would be open to a litigation challenge. And I have since conferred with the DOJ attorney that advises the unclaimed property program. She's reviewed these amendments, and the dash ones reflect her recommendations to that. There was, I think that it was my understanding that the dash ones were sort of an attempt to address some issues that had been raised, but in the end caused more potential problems than they were trying to fix. So and I'll speak to what was taken out and why then we have the dash twos. The section in the dash ones that was trying to give a priority interest, it wasn't consistent with our current law, so it would have carved out gift cards to be treated differently than other unclaimed property in Oregon, and it might have been set it to litigation challenge under some Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court holdings. So we removed that so that gift cards would be treated as all other unclaimed property would be treated in the state of Oregon, and that is a priority rule where the abandoned property would go to the rightful owner. If the rightful owner's address there is in the state, then the unclaimed property is given to that state. And then if the address is not known, then the second level of priority, it would go to the state of corporate domicile. That may or may not be the state of Oregon, but many states, of course, do have their corporate domicile here, and part of the reason that we're looking here at gift cards is just because the electronic nature of these advances in technology in the last few years too has made that type of information, the rightful owner's address, much more likely to be available, and that would benefit the state of Oregon if that rightful owner address is in the state of Oregon. Another part of the dash one amendments that were removed was sort of what was referred to as a 75% rule, and she thought that actually might be of question legality in terms of privacy. There's a case in Marshall Fields' case in Illinois where under that state's constitution it was viewed as being a private cheat situation. She thought it raised some of the same issues and recommended that removal. So that was why that piece was removed. Mm-hmm. And
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Senator Brzezinski.
No, Madam Chair. Mr. Chair.
I'm stopping. I'm just stopping so you can answer.
I've got an issue because I'm hearing what's supposed to have been done with the dash twos versus what mm-hmm. was in the dash ones. So the dash, I'm trying to figure out, are we trying to incorporate the part of the dash ones at all?
No, it's a replacement.
All right, so dash ones are completely out. The only thing we're going to be doing is just the dash twos.
I guess the lower
one is completely out.
Right.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair and Senator Brzezinski, I was trying to, I guess, explain why the dash ones only are, why the dash twos only are part of the dash ones, why we needed to remove those okay. portions of the okay. dash one. So, to that, then so the dash twos then are a expansion of the definition of gift card, although it narrows what a gift card would be. So it is making very clear that these are electronic sorts of gift cards with magnetic stripes or processor chips. This would not be paper gift certificates. And then this, therefore, and gift cards and would be treated as unclaimed property as they were for very long and are in the majority of states and would be treated under the same rules and would not be open to a litigation challenge in that way as and so I think that addressed the concerns of the committee in the last hearing.
So it appears to me that the dash twos are very, very similar to the original bill.
That's right, Mr. Chair.
Other questions for, yes, Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sitting here with my latest Harley-Davidson card, and it has some interesting things on the back of it, talking about the contract that we entered into when this card was bought. And I'm wondering how the state gets into this process, because it says that this card will not be replaced or will not be without my permission. It'll be voided if defaced. It is redeemable only for merchandise. It is not redeemable for cash or credit. It has no value until purchased. This card is redeemable for merchandise or services at the location. I'm wondering, how do we take those kind of contract agreements that are on this card and have us come in, the state come in, enter into that agreement, and take the value of that card if I don't use it in a given period of time?
Mr. Chair, Senator George, for one, it's the effective date of the bill would not impair any existing contracts.
But there's nothing in the bill that makes a provision for them for me to be noticed that from that point on? Is that, are we going to require the person that issues this to put a disclaimer on there?
Mr. Chair, Senator George, since this bill would apply only to gift cards that are issued on or after the effective date of this bill, either that would be embedded into that contractual thing. So your Harley-Davidson card that you have now would not be on claim property under
this bill. A follow-up on that clarification. So in addition to language that's on here, there would be language that say that if you do not redeem this, within the period of 3 years, the state will claim the value?
Mr. Chair, Senator George, I don't know from the legal perspective if that information needs to be put on the card. Not every law that applies to the card you're holding in your hand needs to be put onto that card, so whether or not that does. What this bill would do would mean that when the business or whomever issues the card is subject to certain rules with that, it doesn't say now on your card that the business would retain that money. What this bill would do would ensure that you could have access to that card even if you lost it down the road.
Another follow-up.
Yeah.
Thanks. Have we done any calculations as to the fact that if I did not use this and the dollars that are left on here went to latest Harley-Davidson, and they would have to declare that as being a form of income, and they would pay taxes on that. Has there been any calculation on how much money the state achieves by being able to tax the income that it was, when this card is deemed to be redeemed, it actually moves into a category of income? Do we know how much that is yielded?
I have not looked at that.
Okay.
Something where we could look at. Something that we could do the math on. We learn a lot about our committee. This bill, more than any, we've learned more about our preferences as customers and where we have our gift cards. Harley Davidson, Julie, I forget what yours was, but
yeah.
Talbot's. I have one too many Starbucks, I can tell you. Senator Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe the way this will work, Senator George, is that where they have these disclaimers, some of these companies will actually say, except we're prohibited by law, or something to that effect. Because if you look at some of the contracts that we have, it will have except for, and then they'll name off some states, and we'll just fall into one of those type of positions that they may still issue the exact same card, but the reality is it won't be able to be enforced under that type of contract once this goes in effect, if it passes, for any new gift cards that are issued at that point.
And Mr. Chair, I'll just say that as you know, these gift cards have exploded in popularity and use, and this is a big part of consumers are using these cards on a regular and daily basis. And I think one reason this has generated so much interest is just because, in a way that we may not have, gift certificates were of a much smaller use back in the 90s and before, and now we all have one of these cards, or two of these cards, or five of these cards, and because this has become a much more common area, and this is the traditional type of unclaimed property that states have been dealing with. There is a public policy choice before you about whether then that the unclaimed portions of those cards would benefit private industry or would go for the public policy, public public escheat, except that we don't escheat here. We would be holding it in trust for the consumer and searching for the rightful owner with the technological advances here before you. That makes that all the easier to reunite the consumer with their funds.
And what gift card do you have, Kate?
How many do I not have, I think? iTunes.
Lori Wimmer Whalen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Lori Wimmer Whalen with the Oregon Education Association, for your record. Committee members, good morning. We are here to ask you to adopt the Dash 2 amendments and send the bill out due pass to the Senate floor. We are very grateful for the Council of the Department of State Lands, the Treasurer's Office, and members of this committee who have been very helpful in settling out the legal questions and making sure that we're doing everything in as legally low risk a way as possible. And it seems very intuitive to me that we would go with the way unclaimed property is handled for all other instruments, because that's also a nice simplicity and it's a tested law. One other piece of the Dash 2s as distinct from the Dash 1s that I would point out to you is that we'd originally thrown in language around exempting the nonprofits, because the original testimony in opposition to this bill was that that would be something that ought to be fixed. And then when we came in with an amendment for that in the Dash 1s, then that was opposed as well as being too burdensome. So we've removed that provision as well. And I would point out to this committee that where businesses choose to either give or offer for wholesale gift cards for the purpose of nonprofits, fundraisers, they would certainly keep information about that so that they could deduct that. That is a deductible expense for that business. So we figure that that's already happening. And we check, DSL checked for us all the other states with the gift cards as unclaimed property, and none of them carved out an exemption for nonprofits, so we have taken that piece out. And finally, I just wanted to point out to the committee that it is increasingly true, both because of technology and because of heightened interest on part of merchants to collect data, both demographic and for marketing purposes, at the point of sale. An area code, a telephone number, or a zip code is very commonly collected at the point of purchase on most of these kinds of things, especially the national big box type businesses, which is pretty much what we're talking about. So given that that information is collected already, we believe that reverting back to the original language of the bill in terms of determining the state of origin is really not going to result in a great loss of unclaimed property going to Oregon.
Hey.
And Mr. Chair, if I can, just for a point of clarification, and it's the state, not where the purchase happened, but it's the state of the purchaser, right, or the owner, rightful owner.
Right. Correct. Other thoughts, questions for this panel? Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else on the proponent side? Julie Brandis, Associated Oregon Industries.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Julie Brandis with Associated Oregon Industries. Obviously, these amendments don't do anything to fix our concerns. I think we've been clear and straightforward about what our concerns with the legislation are. I do want to do a couple things, just continue to remind you that this is not going to be an easy task, and it should be my full employment act if this bill should pass the House and go into rules. I do want to clarify for the record that and I have talked to the chair of the committee, and I've also talked to Senator Przanski about this. But I do not want it to appear that I in any way shaved the truth at the last hearing. There are two rules that the Supreme Court uses. The transaction rule that was discussed is a congressional rule that applies, I think it was done in 1970-something, and obviously gift cards weren't even a dream then. So it applies to things like money orders and such. So I did want to clarify that I in no way shaved the truth. I do think the disclaimer probably will mention the state. I think our retailers have to, again, do their best job to represent their sale to their customers. So it might likely include the state, which is probably a good thing. It is not a requirement at the time of sale to ask for zip code, phone number, address. So, again, finding the last known owner is going to be difficult, and cross-tabbing information is also going to be difficult and probably something we won't do unless mandated by law. So I think the other couple technical questions are, how is the state going to track the loading and unloading of these cards? If you have a Starbucks card, you come in and go and you load and unload that. So that, again, from point of purchase, those are probably considered new purchases, but that will be something we'll be watching. And also purchases of Internet, purchases of gift cards on Internet, I think, poses an interesting problem for you, because I don't know what regulatory authority you have to track anything such as that. So, and then the final thing is that my members have asked that you be very clear in the record, either on this in this committee and the floor speeches, so on and so forth, that you don't intend to regulate reward cards. I brought my Banana Republic reward card, and I have to spend a lot of money to get one of these. These are very common in the retail industry now, but they kind of do meet the design and description of a gift card based on this legislation. So they did ask for that clarification. We will remain opposed. We will fight it on the floor and in this House as well.
Thank you. And thank you for your constructive opposition on this bill, working with questions or comments for Julie. So it should be clear that this does not reflect any interest on the part of this committee or the legislature on reward cards, and that is a distinct and separate issue that should be clear, and I think we'll do that on the floor too. And if this actually gets to the floor of the House, maybe they would do that also. Anyone else that needs to speak to this bill? We are in work session.
Chair.
Senator Brzezinski.
I'd move the dash twos for Senate Bill 845.
Senator Brzezinski has moved the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 845. Discussion on that amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I'd like to just put on the record, I vacillated on this, and it wasn't until we got the record straight as to exactly what this will or won't do. When this bill first came before us, there was, at least in my opinion, a number of individuals that thought that this was somehow going to be a big windfall for the state. And we had the issues as to what's the criteria that's actually used to determine where that unclaimed money would actually go. And it's quite clear now that we've had the Treasurer's Department and others look into this issue. That transaction issue that Ms. Brand has talked about is off the table. It does not count. So it's going to be either the last known of the person that's owner of the card, the purchaser of the card, or it's going to go back to the domicile of the corporation for their use. And so with that in mind, as well as taking these other subparts that were in part in dash one, including having some type of distinction between a gift card that was for profit versus one that was doing for fundraising, those are things I just couldn't accept. But now that we have on the record that this is how this is actually going to play out, how the actual implication will be for where that unclaimed property will go, and it does in many cases will in fact return back to the actual business, to their corporate entity headquarters. And so I feel that this is reasonable at this point, and that's why I'm willing to go ahead and move the dash twos. I would not have supported the bill if the dash ones were included. That's why I needed the clarification.
Mm-hmm. I think your comments actually improved the bill. They made it more easily understood, and actually the intent of it better manifested. Senator Starr.
Yes, I will not oppose the dash two amendments, but I continue in my opposition to the bill. I think that this is not pro-consumer. It's not we're taking money that accrues to the issuer of the card. That means that they have less reportable profit. It means that they, in all likelihood, will be forced to raise a cost of merchandise because of the extra steps they have to go through to confirm unused portions of cards. I just don't feel like that this is a a great idea for raising revenues for our schools. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Starr. Dash 2's, any objection to the adoption of the Dash 2's? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Brzezinski.
Mr. Chair, I'd move Senate Bill 845 as amended to the floor for due pass recommendation.
Senator Brzezinski has moved Senate Bill 845 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion. The mother of Captain Hicks will call the roll.
Senator George.
No.
Senator Metzger.
Aye.
Senator Brzezinski.
Aye.
Vice Chair Starr.
No.
Chair Deckard.
He votes aye. Motion carries. Senator Brown is, I'll deem her the carrier. She's interested in this bill, and I can serve as backup if she loses interest based on the vote out of committee on the bill. Yes, please.
Mr. Chairman, you know, some things that have come out of this hearing have been very productive, and I see an issue that we can actually make this a consumer-friendly issue. I'm going to talk with the vice chair about this issue, but I think I'm going to go ahead and serve notice of a possible minority report on this, because I think we can take the bill and turn it into something very productive.
Well, good. We got I've been hoping for some no votes and a minority report, a little action out of us. So I'm pleased actually to hear this.
They won't say we're boring anymore.
Exactly. things were just bumping along too well. Okay, so we have a minority report in play on this, Senate Bill 845. Look forward to seeing the details of it. With that, Captain Hicks, it's been really good to have you with us today and to have your service to the country. And he served with Representative Boquist also. Ran into him, and they served together in Baghdad, and look forward to seeing you on the floor today in about an hour. We are adjourned until tomorrow at 9 a.m.